He is risen. That's great. There's a lot of little people here. Thank you for coming. And I grew up in a family with lots of little kids, lots of noise. Do not worry about noise. That's fine. I'll talk louder than that noise. What do you think our topic is today? The resurrection. The resurrection. And Peter preached the good news of peace. Do you feel peace in our world today? Or do you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders? Maybe even at school sometimes you see bullying take place. Or in your own home there might be conflict. Or in your community, even in your church. And you look at the world around us and you realize they're in Brussels this week. What a terrible global situation where young men came in and thought that killing themselves and killing others was going to be their source of peace. That's not where it's found. We're talking today about the gospel of peace. Now, I was very impressed recently by the movie Risen. Some of you have seen the movie Risen. And I looked at this whole resurrection through the lens of a Roman soldier who was a skeptic, wasn't sure. And so last week we focused on the centurion who was at the cross. And after the earthquake and the darkness, and he heard the words of Jesus spoken to him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he came to a conclusion that this man is innocent and this man is the Son of God. This week, we're going to look at another soldier, another centurion, and that's in Acts chapter 10. He is the first Gentile to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was a big change for the Apostle Peter. He thought that God's love extended only to his nation. And instead, God communicates to Peter that he has no favoritism, no partiality. No matter what country you come from, your ethnicity, your race, your gender, God loves people from all over the world, for God so loved the world. And as I thought about that, Peter did not realize that the love of God extended beyond his own culture and his own people. I want us to remember this morning that the message of the gospel is unique. It is only the gospel that communicates that God loves us. It's found in no other source, no other religion, no other worldview can explain or give a basis for love. Only God in Jesus Christ truly demonstrates what love is, the sacrifice that he gives for us. So this passage begins today by talking about peace offered to people of every nation, including a Roman soldier, Cornelius, including his family. This is what the Apostle Paul says. "Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles, you were separate. You were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to you who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father through one Spirit." The first point Peter is making in this sermon that he gives to Cornelius is that this is a gospel of peace, and this peace extends to everyone. And that peace, he says, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He identifies Jesus three words. He's Jesus. He's Yeshua. He's the Savior. He says he's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Mashiach. He fulfills all of God's promises as the anointed priest, the anointed king, and the anointed prophet. And he says he is Lord of all. Lord of all. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. He declares that through Jesus, we can have a restored relationship with God. We can have peace with God. He uses this word peace. I believe it comes back from his Hebrew background. It is shalom. Peace that he talks about is first peace with our Creator. How can you have peace in this world if you do not have peace with the one who has created you? Then there's peace within our own soul, our hearts. And then there's peace that he wants to give with others as far as it lies within us. Peace, shalom. That's what's being offered through Jesus Christ. That peace isn't found anywhere else except through Jesus Christ. So it's through Jesus Christ that he offers peace. And then he describes himself by this word. He says, and I'm a witness. I'm a witness. What's a witness? A witness is someone who observes something and then tells others about that and confirms something is true. Peter says, I'm a witness. He says, we are witnesses of everything that Jesus did. What did Jesus do that he was a witness? He witnessed Jesus perform all those miracles. He saw Jesus have conquer the storms of the sea. He saw Jesus raise the dead. He saw Jesus feed the 5,000. He saw Jesus heal a man that was at a distance. It shows that Jesus is Lord over all. It made an impression on Peter regarding who Jesus is, his identity. He's a witness. He's a witness that God does not show favoritism. He's a witness that God anointed Jesus. He was a witness that God was with him. God raised him from the dead. God made him appear. Peter declares to you that he is a witness who did miraculous signs and who died and rose again. There's 19 sermons in the book of Acts. Every sermon includes this one very important point, and that is that Jesus rose from the dead. Very important. That confirms that Jesus' claims are true. That confirms his identity as the Son of God. It confirms that his ministry is who he says he is. Jesus is who he says he is, and it is confirmed because he rose from the dead. Two brothers entered the Brussels airport this past week. They entered it, I believe, pursuing eternal peace. But they thought the means to get to that eternal peace was to take their own lives and those around them. These young men died for what they hoped to be true. Contrast. Peter, we learn by a historian Eusebius, does later die for his testimony and his witness to Jesus Christ. He died for what he knew to be true. He died demonstrating love for the people around him with the good news that he knew. Imagine this. Can you imagine these apostles dying for something that they knew was a lie? No, they died for what they knew to be true. Peter is a witness of that fact. And love is unique to his witness. I believe the persuasion of the gospel is love. God loved us, and Jesus says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The love of Christ constrains us. Love is persuasive. The presentation of the gospel is joy. Joy meaning that God is at work in us and through us, and he's accomplishing his purpose. I bring you good news of great joy, the angel says, which will be for all people. And the promise of the gospel is peace. Peace with God. The last thing that Peter says about Jesus is that he will be the judge of the living and of the dead. He's the judge of the living and the dead. How is that compatible with the love of God to speak about judgment. Picture it this way. Every knee will stand before Jesus someday. All of us must stand one day before that final judge. And we'll not stand before that final judge going, you know, but consider him. Look at him, not me. Or compare me to her. Is that what God's going to do? No. We're standing before a holy God. All of us stand before a holy God. Only us before a holy God. But here's the good news. We're standing in that court of law, and in comes an advocate, a lawyer, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He comes in, and he speaks on our behalf. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Not only does he come in as the advocate, but 1 John goes on to say he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We stand before this holy God and say, we fall short. Jesus comes in and speaks on our behalf and says, I will pay the penalty that Peter deserved to pay. I will take his place. He doesn't need to stand before you. I will stand before you. I will pay the penalty that he deserved. The judge is a holy God. Jesus is our advocate, and Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. That's why God can be a just God and demand that sin be punished, but also he can be a loving God because he took the punishment. He gave his only son. God is both just and loving in fulfilling the gospel of peace and restoring our relationship with God. We are accountable to God, but we have an advocate in Jesus, and he is the atoning sacrifice. What is our response to be? I use this quote recently. G.K. Chesterton was asked, what is wrong with the world? And his answer was, I am. We don't need to look anywhere else. I am. We can say, Lord, I repent of my sin. I recognize that I've broken your laws. And then the second, believe. Trust in him, not in yourself. God has granted us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I want to read one invitation to you this morning, and it was the Apostle Paul's invitation. And I believe this contains the challenge that he wants to give to us today. Paul said, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and raised. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, in entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There's no better sermon for a pastor to preach than on the day of the resurrection. This is the good news in this world that's broken apart. This is the news that offers peace with God, offers eternal life. This is the gospel that comes out of the love of God for each one of us. And we who know him, are witnesses today because the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We have the historical evidence of the eyewitnesses, and we have the living evidence of the Holy Spirit speaking to us today. Be reconciled to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday and that he is risen and the hope that is ours in Christ. We are burdened for the hurting world around us and realize that without this message of the gospel, no human being, no human solution will solve our problems, but only peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for each one who's come today that if they have never come to know you today, they would recognize that standing before you, they need Jesus as their advocate and the one who paid the penalty for their sin. And for those of us who know you, help us to be witnesses, persuading through love, having the joy of the gospel, and presenting the gospel of peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.